They were in the trader's alley rather than the artist's alley. Clearly critical words. And yes, after 2 years of being without Blooming Horrible, or Blooming Horrors, let's be honest, when Ed Fortune was actually with me from Starburst magazine, we're delighted to say a hearty hello and good morning to the awesome.
Hello, I'm Tony Partington and this is my wife Julie, and we're here on behalf of the mysterious Sir Digby Nevermore, selling some of his strains of Blooming Horror plants to the discerning collector.
Well, clearly, as she's a second-year student at the University of Teesside, Nicola is very keen in actually looking for horrors for all sorts of things. Nicola, thoughts?
That's really cool, actually. What are your inspirations for making?
Well, there's a range of things. There's films such as Day of the Triffids and A Little Shop of Horrors, which is the most obvious one that people pick up on, but also things, video games such as Plants and Zombies and Mario Brothers. So an inspiration from a wide variety of areas.
And, I mean, they look frighteningly real. They're not real. Do you ever get tempted to actually sort of incorporate them, or do indeed owners like to incorporate them with real plants? I mean, I'm thinking next week we're doing the North of England Horticultural Society Spring Flower Show, and we could have some winners here.
We have had that in the past. We had a request for someone who wanted a certain colour job so they could actually put it in an arrangement so it looked like a real plant coming out of a bouquet. And last year, in fact, we actually did a wedding for a goth couple, so they had a bouquet of special horrors, as well as buttonholes of horrors and table settings of horrors.
Sets the scene for the rest of the marriage, really, perhaps. just a thought there. Nicola?
That's really cool.
I've got to ask Julie the question. Do you ever get those words, "Feed me, Seymour," mentioned on a regular basis? Feed me.
We get that mentioned quite a lot, and we do, you know, ask for volunteers if people have young children that are upsetting the balance. We'll feed them anything, really.
How far have you come for Sci-Fi Scarborough? Where are you based?
We're not far away. We're about an hour's drive away up the coast, just near Staithes.
And will you be present at various other events later on in the season?
Absolutely. We tend to do a lot of comic cons, horror cons, sci-fi cons, mostly in the northeast area. So anything in this area, if you look out for us, we'll usually be there.
As far north as Newcastle?
Sometimes, yep.
Good heavens. And do you have a favourite of all the ones that we've actually got here? Is there one which you sort of think, no, that's priceless. I will not sell that for even $1 billion.
Or no, $1 billion, even a bit lower than that, is the price I can be bought at quite easily. But probably the big one, he's a special that's recently been made, so he'd take a bit of parting with, I think.
Website, how do people get in touch with Sir Digby Nevermore's Blooming Horrors?
They can go to our website, which is www.digby.nevermore.com.
And it's Nevermore as in M-O-O-R, in case people get confused.
That's right.
Every year we turn around and say Sci-Fi Scarborough time, so we think, yes, well, Sci-Fi Scarborough needs John Campling. It's essential. As I said earlier to Steve Dickinson, Nicola, you can confirm, Steve himself said, it's all very well having your Dominic Keatings and your Star Trek legends, but ultimately it's the John Campling that makes it.
I think so.
And who should we be speaking to now? It's John Campling. Yay!
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Very good indeed, John. I must admit, confession for myself, I think I said last year we were going to do some phone links with you. I don't think they manifested. I'm sorry. I'm hanging my head in shame.
That's quite all right. I can understand how much in demand you are at these events, so do not worry, we can correct it all this year.
Exactly, that's what 2018 is for. Now already I'm seeing an impressive range of photos that we've actually got in terms of stands, in terms of various other bits and pieces, etc. And rather like the whole notion of Sci-Fi Scarborough, you are a regular here.
I am. I think I've been, I think this is my fifth year, which is just incredible. You know, I'm very flattered that Steve and the team always, you know, feel that there's a place.
Recognise quality, John. You know, I've said this before. They recognise quality.
I mean, I think I did. I played a blinder that first year when I helped run the raffle, and you know, and I if I can do anything, I can run a mean raffle, and that, I think that helps secure my table now.
Allowing for the fact that Jason Isaacs has obviously crossed franchises from Potter to Trek, I'm clearly thinking you've got the bridge of the Star Trek Next Generation there. I mean, it must only be a matter of time, John, before you actually get a Star Trek Discovery call. Surely
it would just be a dream come true, wouldn't it? I mean, right now I'll take any franchise. You know. Like, you know, I want that third franchise. I call me greedy. It's fine. I am greedy.
You don't want the emoji franchise, John.
No,
honestly,
no.
You've got to have standards here. Think of the agent.
Is there an emoji with long hair?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Nicola, questions for John.
Do you have a favourite one of these pictures? These are all really cool. They've like really caught my eye.
I mean, I really love the poster for Kingsglaive. As an actor, when I was leaving Hull to go to drama school many years ago, with my ambitions of just being an actor and doing a bit of theatre, I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I'd be in a poster like that for a big franchise production. So that, to me, just it reminds me of a personal kind of exceeding my own wildest dreams moment. So I just have a little smile whenever I look at that, because I'm like, I'm in that poster. That's insane. But, all of them, obviously I'm always going to have a special place in my heart for the Harry Potter stuff, because that's what sort of started it all. They've all got their own unique value, Who doesn't love the Specsavers photo? Who thought that would be on a signing table? There it is. Anime King Regis. Anime John. John has anime.
I'm just blown away. And in fact, I've just been thinking, filmmaker Darren Scales, creator of the Dark Wave universe, will be joining us later on today. That's a franchise. I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to bring him along. I'm going to bring a director to you.
I brought some business cards with me.
Nice.
Always networking.
See it there.
I've got an audition piece ready to go.
We'll get that sorted out. For the moment, John, take care. We'll see you later on in the day.
Pleasure, thank you.
With those immortal words, I'm in Sharknado 5, Global Swarming. We have got the awesome Ross Mullen, action actor extraordinaire, creature performer. Ross, good to speak with you.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me in Scarborough, sunny Scarborough. I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks, and it all came true.
Absolutely. You see, messages are actually there. Now, our colleague Nicolette, our first ever location report for us today. Woo! Very thrilled when she saw you on the list here.
Yeah, I love Game of Thrones, but now you're in Sharknado. This is even better.
I know. You're like my flatmate. He's like, oh my God, Sharknado 5, you finally made it.
I feel like that's how you know you've made it, when you're in a film like Sharknado.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And when you do a cameo in Sharknado 5, you've definitely made it. I don't know where you've made it, but you've made it somewhere anyway.
It's happening. In fact, Sharknado and Scarborough, it could be a word made in alliterative heaven, basically.
Yeah, I really hope we don't have a Sharknado today, because we're right on the bay, so...
So is this your first visit to Scarborough in the north of England, Ross?
Yes, it is. I have been up this way before, but I've never been to Scarborough. I've been to York. I performed actually in Richmond in New York years and years ago in the 90s, did a show, a production of East of Eden. But I've never been to Scarborough, and it's beautiful. Had a little walk around, had fish and chips by the sea.
A traditionalist.
Oh, it was so good. And I'd never really seen, I've lived in the UK for 27 years, but I'd never really heard of scraps, chips and scraps.
Would you like scraps with that, Ross?
No, I was like, that looks gross. I usually throw the scraps out, God forbid.
Wow, what would you prefer, Game of Thrones or Sharknado?
Ooh, ouch. I loved working on Game of Thrones because I learned how to ride a horse on Game of Thrones, and it was a much more in-depth kind of work, and it was over 3 years. Sharknado 5 was totally the opposite of that. It was like one day, but I got to share a dressing room with Katy Price. So, you don't get that in Game of Thrones, I'm afraid.
That means you and Peter Noble. Oh, no, Peter Andre.
Yeah, I know, Peter Andre. We both got to share a dressing room with her.
Yeah. That's awesome. Inspiration is a word that frequently comes to mind when we cover these events, Ross. And that's something about science fiction and fandom in general. I mean, when I have my own students at the University of Lincoln, etc., you have that interconnectivity that's actually there. There's always a good atmosphere with these things, I've found.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the place for everybody to come and be inspired and live out their dreams and follow through on to get rid of their drab, dreary lives and let go and become somebody else for the day.
Ross, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self. Do you have a Facebook or a website that you can actually share with our listener as well?
Yes, I am on Twitter at Ross Mullen and Instagram at Ross Mullen. I post a lot of pictures of my cat Parsnip, but you'll have to endure that. She's all white, just like the White Walker. There you go.
I always like to refer to this at Scarborough as the Hall of Fame, the Corridor of Fame, and we're delighted now, having moved on from Ross, to speak to the wonderful...
I'm Kaya Hutchinson. I'm one of the guests. I look after the guests.
Exactly. That's exactly so. And you're currently looking after Ken Collier, we'll see.
I am. Yes, I'm very excited.
So how did you get involved with Sci-Fi Scarborough then? Was it a case of Steve Dickinson made you an offer you couldn't refuse?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, I've always wanted to come, and I thought this is the perfect opportunity to get involved.
And have you done Sci-Fi Scarborough before? Is this your first time?
It's actually my first time, so...
You've got a tremendous honour then, actually, so looking after one of the guests as well and making sure that they're fully equipped with respect to pens as well.
Yep. He's gone for a wander somewhere, but I will find him.
You are effectively the wrangler, the guest wrangler, who kind of works them in from that sort of point of view, which is great. So are you here for the full weekend then? Is this, you've taken up this residency here and you will stay with Conkelly, whatever?
I will. I'll be here all weekend, yeah.
And first ever convention, or have you experienced conventions before?
Not like this, so this is a new one for me, but I'm excited.
So far, we've interviewed John Campling, we've touched base with one of the designers of Darth Vader's helmet, we've had a look at the Daleks, we've seen a whole variety of other things, but it has to be said, Nicola, that the day has just got significantly better. Why is that?
Two new people are here.
We've got, yes, Shaylee and John have arrived. Shaylee, how are you?
I'm great, Alex. How are you?
Very good. Welcome to Scarborough.
Oh, it's a gorgeous day today.
In the north. And welcome, John.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good. Now, John, lots of stuff here to engage with computer science things, etc. I know, and I've heard it on good authority, that you are somebody who, when it comes to science fiction, you like the science to be in there.
Yes, definitely. I always like to have some good science backing up my science fiction. It makes it much more interesting for me.
Well, we'll be continuing our little routine here. What are your thoughts on the venue that you've seen so far, Shirley, now you've actually got in? And yes, you were on the list.
Yeah, it took them a while to find our names, but we're finally here.
I made sure you're on the list this morning, did I not, Nicola?
You did, I was there.
No, the building is absolutely gorgeous. It's quite an old-fashioned building.
It's like a little spaceship that's landed slap bang into the coast of the northeast, and here we are with Daleks and all sorts of other bits and pieces.
Seen some really good cosplay outside as well.
You do tend to get that. I mean, we've been mostly working inside, etc., and we're just getting the notion of what's happening here. There will be a lot of traffic here, so we'll drink up and move on, I think. That's the official line. Possibly outside, because clearly there's lots of exciting things there. What are you most looking forward to today?
Well, we just walked past in the great big hall of loads of interesting goodies, so maybe go and check that out and see what wares they are selling.
We are just ahead of the vast hordes of people who will be coming through the main door in a matter of moments, so the quiet we hear at present might well be followed by a storm of people rampaging to this next stand here at Sci-Fi Scarborough, where we're delighted to be able to speak to
Callum.
Callum, talk to us about what we've got here, Callum, with Iron Man's helmet, with K9 and with Cyber King Productions. In fact, did I not do a piece with you with Cyber King Productions a year ago when you were actually the youngest filmmakers that were actually here?
Yeah, she did.
And you've now moved onto the ground floor, so progress has happened. So how has been the last year? How's the last year been for you?
Oh, it's been brilliant. A lot of progress has been made with the channel, and we're very proud of it. It's been brilliant.
So you should be. Shaylee, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, how did you start this Cyber King Productions?
We started it when we were very little. We were just like, as kids do, just playing around, and we were just like, what if we record this? And we decided that we should make a Doctor Who series instead and actually do it for real.
No, that sounds really cool. So what can people expect from the store today?
We've got things on display. We've got Daleks going around. We're going to have the new teasers for the new projects we're doing, which include a Spider-Man film, a spin-off to Breaking Bad,
nice.
And a Star Wars lightsaber thing.
As we already noticed earlier, you've got an Ood and a TARDIS console there, so that's all marvellous. What inspired you to go for an Ood this time around, as opposed to Weeping Angels?
I don't know, I've always liked the Ood. I find them, I don't know, they're quite nice, but they can be quite sinister at the same time, and I think it's quite cool.
Callum, I seem to recall you had two other chaps with you last time round. Have you actually sort of finished with them, or are they still part of Cyberkin Productions?
They're here,
you see, they've actually arrived, they've dressed up, they've been let in, which is wonderful. They won't remember us, Callum, don't worry, you have to remind them. We did an interview with them last year. But anyway, Nicola, thoughts from yourself?
That's good. What are your main inspirations for the movies that you make?
I think maybe Doctor Who itself. I think we look at that and we just go, all right, we can do something along that line. So with the Breaking Bad stuff, we looked at that and altered it quite a bit. And it's mainly just the show itself.
So Doctor Who and Breaking Bad, that's got to be a mashup of which IDW will be very impressed. You've also got another wonderful assistant, Callum. Would you like to introduce your fine soul here, who's gradually putting out the words, exterminate?
This is Becky. She's very recent to the project stuff.
Becky, you're clearly female doctor, female member of Cyberkin Productions, so flying the flag. How did you get involved?
Well, it's because we're together. So
nice. Yeah. It's, that's worked well, you know.
I support him, so.
No, good, Callum. I trust you appreciate that behind every fine creator, you've got a supportive Becky, which is wonderful. Okay, Shaylee.
And where can people find your stuff?
You can find us on YouTube under Cyber King Productions.
Well, in terms of arrival, we're just looking at the Andy Manchin collection of genuine movie-used props. Shaylee, any thoughts on what you're looking at?
I'm just inquisitive as to why these girls in the corner are being painted.
It's body painting.
Ah, very interesting. And I can see Hellboy as well.
Yeah, he's not getting body painted, but still there we are. And we've been joined by a Tom Baker Doctor Who incarnation that's coming through the system.
I thought it was when he said outside, because we saw him coming in.
A bit warm, I would have thought, for the scarf, but maybe that's something completely different. We've now ascended to the second level. We didn't get here early this morning, but Nicola, thoughts on what you're looking at here?
Very excited to see all the movie props. This is like my thing.
Indeed, genuine movie props, so let's have a little wander around. We won't get run over by BB-8 or whatever this happens to be. We said earlier that Sci-Fi Scarborough without John Campling would be inconceivable. I think it's fair to say that, as we've said with Steve Dickinson, Sci-Fi Scarborough without the R2-D2 Builders Club would also be amazing. We're about to speak to the fantastic...
This is Ian Yates of the R2 Builders Club.
Ian, it's awesome to speak with your good self. Shaylee, your thoughts on these R2 units?
Oh, I love them. They're all so individual and unique.
Questions for Ian.
Yeah, so how did you get involved in this?
Well, I had built myself Stormtrooper armour and I wanted a new project for myself. And R2-D2 has, ever since, you know, the age of four, since I watched the first hours, R2-D2 has always been my favourite. And I just happened to chance upon the Builders Club on the website, and there's a fantastic forum. And at first, I'd never done anything like this before. I'd never dealt with electronics. The club is fantastic. The amount of support that, you know, that everyone, if anyone's ever got a problem, someone's, you know, encountered it before, and they're very helpful and they'll put you on the right path. And it took a while. I mean, it took me a good two and a half years to build a fully completed R2, but it was well worth it, and I love taking them out.
So which one is yours?
Mine is this one here. He's based on the R2-D2 in A New Hope in the original Star Wars. He's suitably dirty and scratched and a bit beat up. That's how I like him.
And has anybody ever uttered the words, "These aren't the droids you're looking for"?
They may have, yes.
It looks amazing, and the fact that you persevered for 2.5 years is incredible.
Thank you very much. And there's still little things, there's little upgrades that I can add to him, but I just love taking him out and just seeing him interact with, you know, with people like yourself, people who come to these conventions. Arthur usually does put a smile on everyone's face.
Well, it's a chance for Shaylee to have a sort of selfie with indeed R2-D2, if you're up for that.
I'm definitely game for that.
Yeah. Yeah, a whole new thing.
Well, yeah, there's plenty to pick from. I mean, this is an impressive turnout by our colleagues. How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 13. And then that's right, there's a Treadwell droid over there called Oscar.
So technically then it's R2-D2 13 Daleks 9 in terms of the score that we've got.
Well, and that's an impressive score.
Exactly. It's a win. That's all great for that. And wouldn't it be a great fan mashup to have Daleks go head-to-head with R2-D2s?
And, well, the result it doesn't
carnage.
Need talking about. So it would be carnage, but R2-D2 naturally will win.
How do people actually get in touch with you guys, the R2-D2 Builders Club, if they've been inspired? And I'm thinking, actually, here, John should surely be inspired to build his own R2. It's what the whole thing needs.
Oh, 100%.
The UK R2-D2 Builders Club, the website is astromech.info. There is a UK R2-D2 Builders Facebook page, and there is also a worldwide page on astromech.net. All of the blueprints are on there, so should you wish to go and tackle the build in whatever material that you want, everything is there ready for you to get stuck in.
And presumably a silly question, but are you looking forward to Solo in a few weeks' time?
Very much so, very much.
Literally within earshot and sight of R2-D units and more, we have got Agnes the Scarborough Witch, and the creator of Agnes, the Witch from Scarborough, is of course...
Graham Rhodes, hello, how are you?
Graham, I think when we last spoke, you were in the main hall. You've moved up, you've ascended to the second floor.
Yeah, well, I'm also MC and host for this room. So during the course of the day, we'll be going up on the stage and I'll be interviewing people about what they do, why they do it, and that sort of thing, which is going to be quite exciting.
It's going to be wonderful.
I've no idea who they are or what they do, so I'm going to be learning. It's a learning exercise for me.
Is this the Cathedral of Creativity?
Well, it certainly seems to be. I mean, you look around here at, the guys who designed Hellboy are there. The guys, the motorbikes. These guys build these things, these drones. So, yeah, it's pretty creative. And I should imagine that actually sitting down and trying to work out how to design a paper mask that you can make probably takes more creativity than building a droid when you think about it.
Shaley.
So, Agnes the Witch, is that based on a real woman?
No, she's a total figment of my imagination. She's a 300-year-old lady that lives in present-day Old Town Scarborough. And then, with an old beaten-up cat. But when she goes down a cellar through a door isn't there, she comes out in the 1700s. And the cat turns into a six-foot-high, one-eared, one-eyed ex-highwayman.
That sounds incredible. How can people access your books?
They're all on sale via a well-known internet thing called Amazon. You can buy them by Amazon. You can buy them from me at my gallery down on the pier. We're making a deal with Watersons at the moment where they're going to stock them. And she has her own Facebook page.
Nice. Very exciting.
But, the other thing, why I set off is that they're all set in the late 1700s, which is a really interesting period in Scarborough's history. If you look out on that bay, that is a battlefield site of the American War of Independence, believe it or not. So the first adventure is about that, and all of them involve facts of Scarborough and historical facts and events that really did happen. So it's sort of a fantasy introduction to the history of Scarborough as well.
That sounds really exciting.
Share with us that connection with the American War of Independence and Scarborough, because I wasn't aware of that one. Talk to us about it, please.
1745, I think it was John Paul Jones, not the bass player of Led Zeppelin, but he, if you read the English history books, is down as a Scottish pirate. If you read the American history books, is the founder of the American Navy. He still has the biggest mausoleum in America than anybody, including ex-presidents and stuff like that. He was a merchant seaman who came out of Whitehaven, who was Scottish, walked away from the slave industry, which was quite enlightened for somebody of that age. But unfortunately, it was a bit of a stickler for... He ran an iron ship, right, like that, and accidentally...
No slackers.
Accidentally killed two members of his crew.
I find the same with my students. Fortunately, I haven't lost any students, nor indeed midweek drive-outs over the years, so good news there, then.
But he disappeared into Virginia, and then when the war broke out, volunteered to fight for the Americans. And he was based in Paris with Benjamin Franklin. In fact, the ship he sailed was Benjamin Franklin's private ship, called the Bonhomme Richard, which is still the name of the American warship today. The Bonhomme Richard, and now an aircraft carrier that is somewhere in the Middle East.
Nicola, I can now see why Teesside University students at Freshers Week are given a trip to Scarborough. Any thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, this is really cool. I know you said you were emceeing the event. What are you looking forward to the most about doing with that?
I'm just sort of getting to know people, really. Because, I'm nosy, which I think is... I think it's the pre-requirement of anybody in media is to ask the right questions and to understand. And the other thing is to listen to the people, listen to what they're saying.
As a writer, as a host indeed of Yorkshire Coast Radio, if memory serves?
Not Yorkshire Coast, Coast and County.
Yeah, I know there's a coast in there somewhere.
Yeah, no. Our big rivals are Yorkshire Coast. We are Coast and County.
And, very important.
I do three programmes on there, which is quite...
Well, Shaley's already graffitied best wishes from Siren Radio, actually, on the outside of the hall, so we'll connect with that.
Excellent, excellent. And good luck to it. And long may we all ride the airwaves.